To his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On such a wonderful Sunday as this, such a joyful Sunday as this, it's hard to know what to preach about because the readings are so lovely and so moving. It's not always the case. In some of the longer weeks of the year, we sometimes look at the readings and think, what could I say about this? But today I'd like to just pick out one thing from the readings that we've heard and talk a little bit about the image of light as we prepare to celebrate the light of Christ coming into the world next weekend. Since our earliest days, many of our strongest religious associations are with candles and with light. As a boy, I was fascinated by the little flashing lamps on our Christmas tree. And I suspect that it was my constant fiddling with them that gave my father such grief each year as he tried to work out why on earth they weren't working again. Then it was the flickering candles on the altar of the church that I went to with my primary school, or then the pools of coloured light which patterned the floor of Canterbury Cathedral on a visit our family made there. Later, when I became a student, I saw more complex images of light and dark, like the candles at the London School of Economics' Christmas carol service, an incongruous event, perhaps, shining in a place which felt like a spiritual wasteland to me, although a fascinating one. And then, early one Easter morning, one grey, dark morning, I went with some students to a little medieval church, the Church of Old St. Pancras behind King's Cross, to celebrate the resurrection there. The area around King's Cross was not famous for its light in those days, but was rather a gloomy and an oppressive place. Home of sorts, I suppose, to the homeless and to the more sordid side of the sex trade, spoiled by 24-hour-a-day traffic congestion, depressing estates, and a sense that a train to anywhere would be a good thing. Yet in the darkness, the paschal candle was lit and the light of Christ was sung out and carried aloft, filling the church with a multitude of little lights as well, so that the darkness and the gloom became powerless as light echoed and bounced around that draughty church, unafraid of the darkness of King's Cross. The Christ, to whose coming John the Baptist paid such vivid witness, called himself the light of the world. John came to testify to that light, the light which was to fill the earth. The first verses of John's Gospel tell us that Christ was the light which shines in the darkness, which the darkness cannot possibly overcome. Within our scripture and our tradition, there are so many images of light, and they form a tapestry where each pattern reinforces and explains the others. But of course, we're not alone in using light as a great metaphor for the image of God. Many other religious traditions of the world speak of God in that way too. They speak about God being the light of the heavens and the earth, as does the Quran in its light surah. It says there, God is the light of the heavens and the earth. The example of his light is like a niche wherein is a lamp, the lamp in a crystal, and the crystal shining as if it were a pearl-like radiant star, lit from oil of a blessed olive tree, neither from the east nor from the west. The oil would almost give light of itself, though no fire touches it. Light upon light, God guides to his light whom he will. That image is a powerful one for Muslims and deeply, deeply loved. And it might, I hope, have been inspired by Muhammad's meeting with Christian monks and their practice of prayer and the prayer lamps in their places of worship. The three wise men from our Christmas story were most likely Zoroastrians, followers of the Persian religion, whose followers worship the fire god Mazda, today called Parsis. There are still some Parsis in Iran today, though not many, but also communities in India and even here in North London. A few years ago, I took a group of students to the funeral of one of their friends, a young man who had died, who was a Parsi. and it was deeply moving to participate in such ancient liturgy, which was full of references to God as light. Around this time of the year, two other great traditions celebrate the victory of good over imagery in the imagery of light also. In October this year, Hindus celebrated the festival of Diwali. The story of Diwali is a section from the great epic poem, the Ramayana. It concerns a young man, a prince called Rama, who is an appearance of the god Vishnu. And by trickery, Rama, who was the heir to the throne in his kingdom, was banished to the forest with his beautiful wife Sita and his brother Lakshman. When Sita was captured by a demon, Rama and Lakshman had to go into battle to win her back. When they returned to their city in great triumph to take the throne, the people lined the streets and lit in all the windows little lamps to greet their return and to celebrate the victory of good over evil. And this week, until Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the Jewish community here and around the world are celebrating the 8-day festival of Hanukkah, the story of events during the Maccabean Wars in Israel, a century and a half before the time of Christ. The evil king Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes oppressed the Jews, took away their religious freedom, and desecrated their beautiful temple. After a long war, Judas Maccabeus, the Jewish rebel leader, recaptured the city and rededicated the temple to the Lord. And in the temple was a great 7-branch candlestick, the menorah, which burned constantly in the presence of God. When they came to relight it, they found there was only enough oil for one day. And so they prayed to God for a miracle. And then the lamp of the menorah burned for a miraculous 8 days until new supplies arrived. Hanukkah is the Jewish annual festival to celebrate the rededication of their temple and the miracle of the oil which went on burning, when lamps are lit for 8 consecutive days as a reminder again of the victory of God's goodness over evil. These are just a few examples among many from the huge world literature of light symbolism. Our story of Christmas is about light too. It's about a man called John who bore witness to the light. It is about a star in the night sky and the coming king to whom it pointed. It's about the victory of the light in us, about the birth of a child so that we might choose the light. For Christ was born to enlighten our humanity, and we have been baptized into the brightness of his holiness and his righteousness. It isn't just about knowing that good is stronger than evil, or that God is on our side, but rather it's about knowing that we have been made a part of God's light, that our being and our life has been filled with the light of Christ, the light of the world. Christmas is coming soon, and it comes with its own gift to us. It comes with the gift of a whole year in which we are invited to learn more about what the incarnation means for the people whom we are becoming. And so let us pray. O morning star, splendor of light eternal, and sun of righteousness, dawn upon us and fill our lives with your light of justice, truth, and love. Amen.